I like your pen. Nina has a special pen that I'm kind of not jealous of, but I'm glad that Nina got the pen. She took the pen. And that's where I'm going to leave it. It's a nice pen. I wish I had a pen like that. Maybe one day I might have a pen like Nina's. Nina has a nice golden pen that she got.
She's never
going
to look at that pen again. Yeah.
She told me yesterday about this pen. She felt guilty for a moment. Yeah.
But only a moment.
But only for a moment. And then she started bragging about her pen. What's so special about the pen? Well, it's kind of gold, black, has Black Falls Community Fellowship on it. It has her name on it, too. No, it doesn't. Well, Lord, thank you for laughter. I was wondering, can we turn to Psalm 23? Sounds really familiar. And, yeah. I think we might have read it once or twice before. And so when we read Psalm 23, it reminds us how caring, how compassionate, how loving our God really is. How the Lord desires to restore us completely. How he desires to protect us from destruction. And that this world, he wants to save us from this world. Is there anything desirable from this world that we want? Less and less every day. And our hearts are more turned towards the kingdom of God. Because we get to be with our Lord and Savior for the rest of our eternity. That should be our desire. To be wanting and longing for him alone. So he desires to help us to live a holy and righteous life. Because without God, without the Lord Jesus, we cannot live a holy and righteous life. And he gives us the Holy Spirit to infill us, to empower us, to quicken us, to strengthen us, to help us through and navigate through this life. So as we read Psalm 23, it really speaks of the goodness of God, how he's the only one who can do this for us. You know, a good shepherd would lay down his life for his sheep, and Jesus did that. He's the only one, even when we separated from him, before we came to know Christ as our Savior, we were enemies of him. And he even died for us, even when we were his enemies. Can you read Ezekiel right now?
I'll feed my flock, and I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God. I will seek that which was lost, and bring again that which was driven away, and will bind up that which was broken, and will strengthen that which was sick. I will destroy the fat and the strong, and I will feed them with judgment.
It's amazing how Ezekiel talks about how he heals brokenhearted, how he draws people in. Look through Scripture how God is the only one that could mend or heal our brokenness, and how he's the only one that heals us. So as we read Psalm 23, it says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not lack. We will not lack when we're in the Lord. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still and restful waters. He refreshes and restores my life. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yes, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear or dread no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff. His rod protects us, his staff guides us. They comfort me." And I love verse 5. It says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies." That's amazing. Why would God put us on a table and place us around a table around our enemies? Have you ever thought of that before? Why would God do that? Right? "You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely, or only goodness, Mary, and unfailing love shall follow me all the days of my life. And through the length of my days, the house of the Lord shall be in my dwelling place." You know, without Jesus, we can't face every day that we come across. It's impossible. We face hardships every day, because how many of us face hardships, right? And as we know that he's always with us, he quickens us, strengthens us. He's our daily hope. He's our assurance every day. He gives us his peace, confidence. We have joy. He has a plan and a purpose for each one of us. Do you believe that? He created you in your mother's womb, so you know that he has a plan and purpose for you. And he desires us, his creation, to know him, the living God. Isn't that something? He wants us to know him. We want to sit at his table and eat with him and to get to know him. Usually around a table, you get to have conversations. You get to know people, spend life with them. He wants you to fellowship with him. Even though we may have all these troubles around us, everything's going haywire, circumstances are happening, yet he wants you to sit at his table and eat from his table and get to know him. That's a loving God. You know, in the Bible, we're called his sheep over 200 times in the Bible. It's not really a flattering thing, is it? Many of us know what a sheep is like. Are they pretty smart? Are they pretty nimble? Do they have fangs, teeth to fight off predators? No, they don't, right? They're nervous, they're timid. How many of us are nervous and timid? We get pretty timid, undecisive. But it takes time for us to get to know him. And that's why he wants us to sit at his table every day. Sometimes we're so much in a hurry, we grab our coffee, pour our coffee really quick, grab something to eat, and we're gone. But he wants us every morning to spend time with him before we run off. Even at night, he wants us to sit at his table and commune with him. So as sheep, creatures of habit, I could tell where pretty much everybody's going to sit today. Except for Kelly, she's been moving around. We get into habits, we get into ruts. With our Lord, he leads us out of those habits if we're willing to allow him to lead us out of those habits. Because sometimes those habits are very destructive. Sometimes we like those destructive habits because they feel comfortable. We don't like change. Sheep don't like change, right? That's why he needs to lead us. We're creatures of habit. Sometimes we like things that are not good for us. It fills a void. And that void really shows the Lord Jesus is not in our life. So as sheep, we get dirty. We get stinky. I don't think a sheep really smells nice. No. You know, and they get matted hair, right? Yeah, some of us have hair, some of us don't. John, one day we'll get hair. So we get stinky because of sin. Sin, every time I smell pig farms, imagine the stench. And that's what sin smells like. I shared that one time with a bunch of pig farmers, and they didn't like that. But it's a reminder to us how bad sin stinks. And how God really wants us to get set free from bondages and from sin. Our Lord is the only one that can cleanse us from our sin if we confess, repent to him. Our Lord desires us to not to live in bondage or have a chain that is holding us back from truly experiencing his fullness. Really what he wants us. He wants to imagine a sheep by a rushing river. They dunk his head into the water. Think of his big afro. Right? And his afro helped push him into the water, sailing down the river. Sometimes he wants to lead us by quiet, still waters because it's not dangerous. Rushing water will rush us away and we'll drown. He takes his staff to pull us out of the water. So as sheep, we are defenseless. And with our good shepherd, he's our defender. He's our strong tower. You ever listen to Cutlass? I like Cutlass. One of my favorite groups. And Jesus has defeated the devil. And he has given us everything that we need. So who could find 2 Peter 1, 3 to 4? See who's on the ball today. What? This is pretty amazing. A guy with a cast outbeat everybody.
They're just number one.
2 Peter 1, 3 to 4.
3 to 4. Well, it's a good thing I have it underlined.
Yeah.
His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who has called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these he has given us very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires.
So he's given us some things or all things? He's given us all things. So something that we need to take hold of. The green pasture and quiet waters is where our good shepherd gives us a place of rest. You never know when you spend time with the Lord, fellowshipping at his table, how you get find rest and you feel comfort. And everything of this world kind of just dissipates. It goes away. Right? If I could tell when I'm not resting with the Lord, I get very anxious. I get very scattered. And sometimes it's a reminder to myself, it's just, I'm a sheep that kind of goes astray at times. I kind of do things on my own strength. And he's gentle and pulls me back. And when we are in his presence, he gives us comfort. He has plenty of food at his table, so we will not go hungry. That's why even cows or sheep, when they're full, they don't wander. They rest. They lay down in green pastures. They can rest because they're full. Are we full? Today, are we full? Because we're spending time with the Lord at his table, right? Are we full today? Good question. It's when we spend time with him at his table, it's a spiritual food that we need, not physical food. It comforts us because we need to be comforted. When we are comforted, we are able to comfort other people. Because whatever we have been going through, we say, look at how the Lord has worked through my life. Help me, and we get to share the truth of the gospel. How only the Lord comforts. Verse 3, he says, he restores my soul, and he guides me in the path of righteousness. He restores my soul. Only Jesus can restore your soul. When your soul is restored, you could actually be at rest. Restore means turn, return, turn back, repair. When we say, he gave back my life, only Jesus can give us our life. He's the bread of life. He's the only one who will satisfy our hunger. You notice how the world is so unsatisfied, they're trying to find pleasures in other things. So we set up false gods. We set up things that try to satisfy us but never really satisfying you. And then you start getting dissatisfied. So you start getting into other things. And that tries to satisfy you. Try to have that satisfy you, but it doesn't. Came to the Lord, and the only thing that satisfied me was the Lord. Everything else just fell away, and I was like, this is what I was missing. This is what I was missing in my life. He restores my soul because that's our Lord, how he treats us. We stumble, we fall, become so helpless. Yet our good shepherd is patient, he's tender. His staff draws us closer to himself, shows the tenderness of the Lord. He's helpful getting us back onto our feet. In our brokenness, our Lord gives us restoration, healing, comfort. He repairs our soul from our past. That's why as we deal with things from our past, brokenness. Only the Lord could actually heal us from brokenness. Sometimes there's scars we have. Scars is up some wounds that not been dealt with. He continues to restore us until the day he takes us home or until we meet him in the air. So why is it important to know that God will restore us? Why is it important to know that God restores us? Because when we approach God for restoration, he says just have a mustard seed of faith. He restores you. You don't have to have great faith. Just a small amount of faith. Know that God is always true to his word. He never breaks a promise. He says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. I will give you rest. Matthew 11:28. He gives us rest. How many of us are needing rest today? He gives us comfort. We know we could come to him boldly because he says, come to me. Jesus releases the oppressed. How many of us feel oppressed today? He's a counselor that restores us. He can only go where no other person could touch. He touches our very inner part of our heart. His word ministers to us. We spend time feeding on his word. That's why it's so important to spend time at his dinner table or his breakfast table. Because really that's where we get our nutrients, where we get restored and quickened and strengthened. The Lord wants us to be yoked to him. And what's a yoke? Okay? So a yoke is a wooden harness used to guide ox or other draft animals while plowing fields, working together. Yoke. Y-O-K-E. Yeah, well, I guess those boys should be separated. Well, you know. You thought of it? Where was it? Nassif said that. Yeah. What does yoked in the Old Testament kind of mean? Yoked in the Old Testament is for about slavery, bondage, forced into labor. In the Bible, we see yoked is joined as to join or unite us to something or someone. So when I'm yoked to Christ, I come in alignment with him. We're yoked to our past, it brings heaviness. That's why sometimes when there's so much heaviness in our lives, maybe we're still dealing with stuff that's not dealt with in our past. Still yoked to it. It's still drawing us down. Regrets, worries about whatever the future is going to bring. That burden drives us. So there's no peace. There's no hope. There's opposition. Jesus said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Jesus wants us to take his yoke and burdens because it brings healing and restoration to our soul. And it doesn't drive us, but rather directs us to trust him alone. A lot of times when we get driven, does it push us away from God? We have so much heaviness or burdens? Or do we want to come to him? When we're yoked to Jesus, he will set us free from whatever is trying to hold us back from truly experiencing him. So what are we yoked to that's not of God? What kind of sin? That's kind of broad. What things are holding you back, from experiencing the Lord? What kind of sin? What kind of sin is holding you back? Oh, there is a lot. Do we have anger? Do we have resentment? Do we have bitterness? Do we have sin is just a big, ugly umbrella? Do we have unforgiveness? Do we have worries or hatred? Temptation? Is temptation a sin? No. Giving in to temptation is a sin. Jesus was tempted in all factors, but he never sinned. So temptation, where does temptation come from? Tempter? Yeah, from Satan? Our fleshy desires, yeah? The old nature? So a lot of times how are we tempted? Where does temptation really, what we watch, what we dabble in, what we desire? When we see somebody with, you know, the temptations, like, I want, you lust after something, you covet things. There's temptation that tries to draw us away from the Lord, right? So even though we walk, verse 4, even though we walk through the valley of shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you're with me. Your rod and staff comfort me. David went from a personal interaction with the Lord. Should we fear death? Should we fear evil? Should we fear what's happening in this world today? What we do? What does the Lord, verse 5, what does the Lord, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. What does the Lord put us at a table in front of our enemies? Why? Shows that he's in control, yeah. Is what? Loyalty, yeah. Is that? Sure. So no matter what is happening, no matter what's going on, the Lord prepares a table in the presence of my enemy. So no matter what we're going through, we're set apart. Here we are, we're eating. All this turmoil will be happening all around us. While we're feeding and feasting at his table, God has our back. He's protecting us from everything that's going on. So that's why we should not fear when we go through the valley of shadow of death. He's protecting us as we go through this. He's there with us. He's carrying us through it as we depend on him. So it's a powerful reminder that there's a benefit when we eat at his table. And also reminds us that God gets the glory all the time. Because only he is the one that is able to keep us. He's the only one that gives us strength and hope and satisfaction. So he gives us benefits from sitting at his table, but then he's also glorified. So we can share the good news of Jesus Christ to others, how he is. We experience benefits from sitting at his table, but also this is who he is. He's our defender. He's our strength. He's our provision. He's showing off his handiwork. Think of how he's been working in your life, how he's been encouraging you and to be setting you free from things that have been holding you back. God's the only one that can restore us, because we can't restore ourselves. As much as we try to restore ourselves, we can't. He's the only one that can strengthen us and protect us. He's the only one that can redeem us. He's the only one that gives us peace in the midst of turmoil. Can you imagine when you're going through turmoil and other people see, like, why is that person not freaking out when they're going through so much turmoil? Because you're resting and eating at the table of the Lord. He's the one who's giving you peace to face whatever you're going through. Doesn't that speak of God? How he's the one encouraging you, and you could share that, and that he gets the glory? All the meanwhile in front of the enemy. God doesn't do anything in secret. And yet the devil comes and wants to make you doubt God's word, right? Look at Eve. He came into the garden and he tempted her, saying, did God really say this? Did God really meant this? Think of the times when you listen to other voices trying to distract you, try to lead you away from what God has been saying to you. The devil likes to plant these lies into our lives. And sometimes we take those lies. And it's hard sometimes. Have you ever found it's hard to let go of those lies? It's more so easy to believe a lie than the truth. And why is that? It's always a good question, isn't it? Maybe we don't have the answers, but why do we believe a lie more so than the truth? Well, you're still accountable. If we know what the truth is, right? True enough. Perhaps that's why we don't want to sit at the table, right? Because more that we sit at the table of God, with the Lord, more that we become more accountable, right? More of the scripture that you know, more time you spend with him, more accountable you become. Perhaps that's why people don't like, we don't spend the time at his table, because then we know that we become accountable. It exposes things, but, right? We become more accountable when we know more things. What's 2 Corinthians 10? 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4 to 5. Close. Okay. 2 Corinthians 10, 4 to 5.
For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ.
So he's given us a tool, weapon that we take captive certain thoughts. So when we're playing with these thoughts in our minds, if it's something that's contrary to what the Word of God says, we still dabble in those thoughts. Those are things that opens the doors to Satan to come in and to really wreak havoc in your life. So if we're not taking captive the thoughts that are contrary to the Word of God, you know, even like you think about the sheep, what did the shepherd also do to the sheep? Protection. Poured oil over sheep's head, right? It was dripping so much that he had a cup underneath, and that cup was overflowing. That cup, oil, protected that sheep because it got into his nostrils and all that, because bugs like to come up into the flies. You ever see cattle or horses, like in the summer, flies and stuff? Where do they like to go? Nose. Eyes, around their eyes. And so a lot of times, you know, you have those bars and the horses or cattle rub against them, right, to get the flies off. There's put stuff in there to help prevent that. And here's, in biblical times, the oil was protecting that sheep. So the flies couldn't go up the nostrils and lay eggs in their nose. Because what happens when they lay eggs in your nose? They kind of crawl up to your brain and start eating your brain, and it caused havoc. And your mind starts going. I know it's disgusting, sorry. But it's interesting how God has given us this oil. 2 Corinthians 10, 4 to 5, we're supposed to take captive of these thoughts. It's a sort of oil that protects our mind. So Satan, as these thoughts come, are we taking captive of thoughts that are contrary to the Word of God? And that's a good question. Are we? Are we sitting at the table with the Lord? Are we eating with him, visiting with him, talking with him? Are we taking captive of thoughts that set themselves up against the knowledge of God? He gives us all things necessary for life and godliness through our knowledge of him. So when we know scripture, and I say, you know what, I got this thought keeps on coming back and back. What am I doing with that thought? Do I have this resentment towards somebody? Is it maybe the Lord saying, you know what, deal with that resentment? Is it a thought of, hey, that person's really annoying? Chews their food like a cow with like chewing cud. Like, Lord, help me to not hear that, right? Sometimes we have thoughts in our minds that really can be irritating. And sometimes those thoughts allow Satan to come in if we play with those thoughts? Is it thoughts of lust? Is it thoughts of swearing your mind but not physically saying them? Still thoughts. We're supposed to take captive those thoughts. The Lord wants to set us free from bondages, right? Are we taking captive those thoughts today? Only you could answer that with the Lord's help. And then cup overflows. It's always overflowing when we're spending time in the Word of God. Because it replenishes us. It gives us strength every day. It's not, I'm good for this Sunday, I'm good for till next Sunday. You're going to dry up on the probably Tuesday. But that's why we spend time every day in the Word of God, spending time with Him at His table. I don't know, does that make sense? It doesn't? No? I hope. What's that? I would be careful because what the Bible talks about, even though, was it 1 Timothy? Okay? Is something, it talks about how don't think of your last of yourself. How does it go now? Because of your age? A lot of times, as young men, you guys probably could teach a lot of us some things. Okay, what's 1 Timothy 4:12?
No one despise your youth. Be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity.
Amen. You guys could actually.
So we could all learn from each other, right? Never disqualify yourself. That's right there, reveals really a lie from the enemy. You know that? Enemy is right now trying to discourage you guys from really wanting to really respond to Him, to know Him. He's trying to bring some doubts into your mind. Say, well, I'm just a young guy. I don't know anything. The Lord gives us wisdom. He gives us, if you're open to receiving from Him, He will speak to you. If you're willing. It's like, Lord, soften my heart so I'll be willing to respond to you. We could feel so defeated at times we want to close off. But say, Lord, I know I've gone through some turmoil during my young life, but I don't want to cut you off. I want to receive from you today. There's a lot of young men and women who really stir, encourage older people to revive. Because you guys see things differently. You have a deeper passions, right? Don't allow the enemy to steal what God has planned for you. Don't ever allow that. So what are we supposed to do? Be captive of those thoughts. Make them obedient to the Word of God. And sometimes we allow TV and music to make us think differently. That's why it's important to not watch certain shows or listen to certain music. That's why it's important to know what we're listening to. So, for all of us, right? Some TV shows are very terrible. So sometimes hard to break that habit of watching it. That's why I stop watching the news as much as I can. It affects me in such a negative way. But my hope is today's, allow 2 Corinthians 10, 4-5 to really sink in. It's a spiritual warfare that we're at. It's not a carnal, it's a spiritual warfare. The battlefield in your mind. Father, I want to thank you for, you're a good God, a God that gives us everything that we need to live in this life with confidence. That you sustain us, you encourage us, you deliver us, that you set us free from our past. Lord, help us to really call upon your name every day. Lord, I pray that you would help us to rest at your table, to be restored by you alone. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you that as you continue to minister to all of us, Lord, Lord, that you would stir in us a new love and a new desire for you alone, a new passion for you. Lord, as pray that you would reveal any lies that we may be believing that are untrue in our life, or that you would set us free and to allow your truth to really sink into our hearts. And I thank you, Lord.